This is Psycho Crap. I'm Adam, the National Psychology Examiner for examiner.com. And this podcast, I just find things in my psychology textbook or things I'm reading that I think are interesting and related to psychology, and I talk about them and I write about them. And today I want to talk about cyberbullying. A couple months ago, 11-year-old Jesse Leinhart, under the pseudonym Jesse Slaughter, posted a violently charged video in which she blasted online cyberbullies with statements like, "And I'm happy with my life, okay? And if you can't, like, realize that and stop hating, you know what? I'll pop a Glock in your mouth and make a brain slushy." I hope nobody takes that sound clip and isolates it of me saying that. Cases like Leinhart's raise modern questions on parenting. Dealing with the new medium of always on, always connected, advanced forms of communication. When I was Leinhart's age, there were several very important psychological factors which impeded my ability to bully, or my likelihood to be bullied. In Leinhart's case, her parents reported that she was given internet access with a webcam in the privacy of her bedroom. After some repeated harassment over her sexual conduct from the online bullies, she turned on her webcam and began to vent. Children are able to express themselves with an immediacy never before seen. In the case of many cyberbullies today, bullying also involves de-individuation, that is, anonymity, and the collective identification of a group. De-individuation is blamed for the phenomena of mass hysteria and mob insanity. In my webcamless youth, bullying required personal confrontation, identification, and enough time in between an impulse and an action to reconsider and cool off. The case for the internet's catalytic effect on aggression and bullying certainly has merit. However, as a side note, there has been little discussion on how our impressions on youth aggression may be skewed by the effect of salience. While the availability of online media may increase aggressive expression, the availability of online data on such acts may cause us to see an availability heuristic. The availability heuristic is a bias to believe something happens more often when its recollection more easily comes to mind. In any case, today's parents, who may not even know what Twitter, Facebook, or YouTube are, may face a unique struggle not well represented in books on parenting. Short of pulling the plug on their kid's computer, how can parents protect their children from bullying if they don't understand how children are communicating in the first place? It's important to understand the psychological aspects which allow, reinforce, and inspire bullying. While plenty of literature has been published on the various motives of bullies, the internet age has amplified the role of de-individuation. There's probably no better example than the trophy-hunting bullying antics of Anonymous, a group of internet trollers, another word for cyberbullies and just plain annoying people online, from 4chan.org, who have gone to such lengths as harassing the parents of deceased cyberbully victims on the phone, posing as their deceased sons and daughters. Parents can reasonably intervene with their child's social networks simply by observing which networks are at high risk for de-individuation. Some social networks have employed ranking incentives for maintaining an honest online identity through virtual earnings like karma points, earned by long-term use of a social network without report of misbehavior. In the early days of the internet, parents were concerned with their children posting their actual names and photos online. Ironically, it is those anonymous people of whom parents should be extra cautious. In addition, online communication doesn't raise all of the risks of bullying. Bullies at schools are assigned to the same building. They're plainly difficult to avoid. Online, it takes only a click of a button to completely block any form of communication with bullies. Any reputable social site will have a block button. If it doesn't, your child shouldn't be using it. Blocking is the easiest way to prevent bullying while still allowing your children to have a pleasant online social experience. That being said, parents should remember the social sphere for children is very different from how they might remember their own. I hate to say it, but just because you didn't need Facebook and Twitter when you were growing up doesn't mean your child can have an easy time making friends without these outlets. Like it or not, cell phones and computers are what this generation uses to communicate. Because these outlets are used, the youth do not use many of these offline outlets in the first place. I'll be the first to tell you real-life interaction beats looking at a computer screen any day, but telling your child to seek social engagement entirely without the internet may be asking them to go to a party which no one is showing up.